typical murderers. Some plan their crimes meticulously, while others kill on impulse.
It's Jason Voorhees.
Fred Krueger, Mother. Fred Krueger!
It is time, Michael.
When there is no more room in hell.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
The dead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We'll walk the earth.
I'm eternal child. I am the eater of them.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The boogeyman is real.
Here's Johnny.
The blackest eyes.
Every year.
The devil's eyes.
Don't fall asleep.
It's got a death curse.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Death Curse Radio. I'm your host, Nathan Barker, and joining me tonight is Kenton Mullins.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Kent, a.k.a. Kenton. Yeah, I like that one. So, and
like
also
joining, I'll go with it.
There you go, a.k.a. Kenton. And Ben Diatley is with us tonight.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Now for tonight's episode, August 15th, 2018, marks the 15th anniversary of a film that will always be right up there for me. And that film is Freddy vs. Jason. That's right. It has already been 15 years since it hit the big screen. And I just got to say that it just seems like it was yesterday that I was at the 10-year anniversary show for Freddy vs. Jason at Horror Hound Mask Fest in Indianapolis in September of 2013. And now to think another 5 years has passed and the film is now it's already 15 years old. And it's like, wow, either time really does fly or I think maybe I'm just actually starting to feel old for once. So, yeah, this film will just always be right up there for me for a couple of reasons. And for one, I was 21 when this movie hit the theater, so it was kind of a big deal for me. I mean, I didn't get to see all the Friday theater madness in the 80s year after year. So it was just cool to get this film as a young adult. Granted, there was Jason X a couple years prior, but fuck, I'm not even going to get into that one right now. And I was not even remotely excited about that. So this one was, you know, kind of a big deal. And secondly, it appeared with two of my favorite slashers. I mean, the kings of the 80s, Freddy and Jason. I mean, nobody was bigger in the horror genre in the 80s than those two guys. So yeah, it was just awesome to finally see the two titans clash. And of course, all the promo stuff was in abundance. I obviously remember some of the stuff from the video stores in the 80s, but as a young kid, I didn't really know what Jason was all about and all that good stuff. So after actually becoming a fan and getting to experience all that as an adult, it just makes the movie sort of special for me personally. Matter of fact, I have my original full-size poster hanging right next to me in the studio with a whole bunch of cast signatures on it as we speak. Now, I know you guys are a little younger than me, but Kent, I'll let you start. And first, though, I do just want to throw out there that just because the movie is right up there for me, that doesn't mean that I don't have issues with it, just like any other movie, which we'll get to some of those later. So, but Kent, what do you remember most about when this movie was about to hit the big screen or right after you seen it?
Well, I remember this being my first experience with a Friday the 13th movie, or, well, it's technically a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. But my first experience with one of those movies in the theater, I remember the hype. I remember being excited. I couldn't believe it was happening. And then I went and saw it, and I think that for a long time, I convinced myself that I liked it just because of how awesome and amazing the premise was. And as I've gotten older, I've kind of come to the realization or the, I'm not in denial anymore that I have a lot of issues with this movie, but, I guess we'll get into that later. Yeah, man, I was, excited. I kind of walked away convincing myself that I liked it, even though I think maybe even then deep down, I knew I didn't, just like Mortal Kombat. Whenever I was like 8 or 9 years old, when I went and saw that, I had the same experience with that, but I think way deep down in little Kent's core, I was upset, but for the longest time, yeah, Freddy vs. Jason is fucking awesome. It's fucking awesome. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I've left denial, and I have a lot of issues with this. And there are other movies in this franchise that I think are worse. But yeah, that's how I feel.
Kind of like if anybody listened to our prior anniversary episode that marked the 25th anniversary of Jason Goes to Hell this week, where Ben basically explains Jason Goes to Hell is near and dear to him because it's the first one that he saw, and so on and so forth. So it's kind of like, for me, I mean, I like the film, don't get me wrong, but sometimes you let the things that are bad with it or that you don't care for, you kind of let them slide a bit just because the movie was so hyped and you were so much anticipating its release because of, you know, what was going on in your life and why it's important to you. Like for me, it's like, wow, I finally get a chance to go to the theater and experience. I mean, we're not going to get film after film after film for the next however many years, but I'm finally going to get to go to one as an adult and appreciate the franchise that I've came to love. So I think for me,
to a point where you don't want it to be good, you need it to be good.
I think you just
wanting it to be good.
You want it to be good, obviously, but you kind of let things go just because it's like, wow, I finally got to see this and experience all the promotional stuff and be able to buy the posters while it's happening, not original posters that are 30 years old from the 80s like you see on eBay all the time. But like, I have the one that I got myself back then, that specific one. So obviously, you know, there's tons of collectibles out there that are original from the 80s. People can buy those all day long, but those would never really be special to me because I wasn't really getting them as a collector or experiencing that while it was in motion. So yeah, I think I let a lot of the issues with it go just because of that. And now that the movie's older, and each time I watch it, there's things that I get more irritated about or irritated with, or just am not going to let go anymore. But we'll get into that in just a little bit. Now, Ben, I'm guessing you were obviously a teenager when this movie hit the theater. So what do you remember about this back then?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little younger than you guys. I think I was around 14 when this came out. I remember going and seeing it opening night with a group of friends, and just absolutely had a blast. I'm right there with you guys, like with the promotional stuff, all the TV spots, the trailers. I know they did the Las Vegas weigh-in. It was like Freddy versus Jason. It was like an event, you know, they made it into something real big. It was just a real fun time, you know. Internet was like, you know, relatively new, at least in my house. So I remember going to like websites, and it was exciting to experience that. But I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, I was a pretty big horror fan. I was a pro Jason fan, and I went into the movie a Jason fan. I definitely came out a Freddy fan. Like Kent said, it's a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. I think they nailed Freddy. I mean, Robert Englund was perfect in it. It was a great performance by him. I think it's some of the best Freddy, but you know, a little off on Jason. I remember kind of feeling that when I saw the movie, like this just doesn't quite feel right. But I think overall it was just, you know, it was a fun time. It was an event. It was something it's a great date night movie, just something fun if you don't take it too seriously, you know?
Absolutely. Now, when it actually hit the screen the day of August 15th, I mean, it's been 15 years. I was in college at the time. I honestly don't remember if I went and seen it in the theater the day of, or if it was like a day or two later, but I'm sure I seen it within the first day or two, probably 2 days tops. But usually around that time or this time is when college is starting back up. So I was probably moving into the dorm or moving into apartment or house or whatever. Like I'm sure there was something going on that probably prevented me from actually going on opening night, but I might have. I honestly can't remember. But yeah, I mean, I was just talking with Landon Evanson on the Return to Camp Blood podcast, and we were covering of course, this anniversary for that show. And I told him there was a couple of things, and we'll get to some of those, but just to kind of kick off some of the things that I kind of felt initially, like, and you had just mentioned one of those, that it basically felt like a Nightmare on Elm Street film that just happened to feature Jason. You know, it was not so much, it didn't feel like Jason was balanced like Freddy was. Now, of course, Robert Englund is a phenomenal actor, and of course he talks, so there's a big difference there between a talking character and one that just stands there and takes the, you know, being poked fun at with Freddy's smart ass comments. So maybe that's one reason why it kind of felt more so, but I don't know. I mean, that's a big part of it, obviously, but that's exactly the way I felt also, was that I was watching a Nightmare on Elm Street film that just happened to have Jason be in it. So, but we'll just kind of kick things off as far as where I think most of the problems that I have with it now, I'm going to call those problems Ronnie Yu's. And that's because we have a director who had never seen a Friday the 13th film creating this movie that had been so highly anticipated. And part of those problems are because of him. There's no doubt. Now, there's a book by Dustin McNeil. It's called Slash the Titans. If anybody wants to check it out, I think it's still for sale on Amazon, or just Google search Slash the Titans. And there's a bunch of coverage in that book that's about some of the scripts that didn't make the cut. And some of those would have been made a better film. There's no doubt. So obviously they have issues when you're trying to combine those two worlds together. But I think you guys know what I mean by the Ronnie Yu's of causing issues with the film that you can easily dissect. And you and I have spoken about this before, Kent, but you know, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that those were the majority of the issues with the film, or what we would call the Ronnie Yu's?
Every issue that I have with this movie is because of Ronnie Yu. Almost 99. I don't blame my issues with this film on the acting, on Jason Ritter, on Ken Kersinger, Robert Englund. All of my issues, the acting is actually pretty good. It's every issue that I have with this film almost can be directly attributed to Ronnie Yu.
Which, just name a couple of them.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
Yeah, just name two or three of them.
First off, he is horrible for making plastic Hollywoodish feeling movies. And a lot of movies suffered from this in the early 2000s. Terminator 3, for example, it's really bad for that. They just feel fake. They feel, the CGI is terrible. Why would we bring in a director who was not a fan of either franchise, had never seen either franchise? I think, I might be wrong, but I think he had seen maybe one Friday the 13th and no Nightmare on Elm Street. I think I read that somewhere. But he wasn't a fan of either of them. He didn't want to do either of them, or he didn't want to do this movie, period. And money ended up, you know, bringing him in. And then he takes, he does this, and he did it with Chucky too. He takes a serious, for the most part, a serious franchise and takes it in a completely fucking goofy direction. It's like the fight scenes are so overdone in terms of like, for example, Jason dragging Freddy out of that cabin and then throwing him 500 feet with one arm. It's and you know, the pinball shit in the dream world when Jason's bouncing off pops and stuff. It's just so I rolled my eyes so many times the first time. Well, probably not the first time, because I was too caught up in needing it to be good, but you know, and following viewings, just realizing, my God, this is so stupid. And it is. But yeah, I think my biggest issue with this flick is the plasticness and the just fake, it suffers from Ronnie Yu syndrome and also early 2000 syndrome, like, because a lot of movies from 2000 to like 2003, 2004 were, if you look back at them now, the cinematography and everything are just god awful.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean by that. And for one thing that I will say is, with a film that is expected to be big, and like Bennett said, an event for that matter, I expected there to be some over the top shit. And of course, with technology changing and things being different from the 80s compared to, you know, 20 years later with Freddy's Dream World sequences, I pretty much anticipated them to be not like kind of what we seen in the original Nightmare films. But yeah, the throwing him 500 feet and this, that, and the other, I'll agree. It's definitely a way over the top. And I remember going into the film years ago thinking, they're going to clash. And when you think about the two ways that can happen, so if it's in in the real world, if you want to refer to it as that, in Jason's world, he would obviously be the one that would win. But you move that to the nightmare world, you would think, well, Freddy's going to win because he runs shit in the nightmare land. That's his shit. So it's like, how are they going to bring them together? Where are we going to see the clash? Are we going to see it in the dream world and expect Jason to lose? Or are we going to see it outside and expect Jason to win? Because
realistically, there's nowhere for them to fight and one person not have the upper hand.
Extremely. Well, yeah. Yeah. So when we see that, obviously they made Jason appear much larger than Robert Englund, which that's another issue. We can talk about that in a minute. But you would think that Jason's obviously not going to throw him 500 feet across the way, but Jason would definitely kick his ass. I mean, little Freddy and his knives. I mean, come on. I mean, Jason just choked the shit out of him, and that'd be at the end of it. You know, he'd choke slam him like Kane and, brought, you know, game over. So maybe not so much that, because Freddy obviously has a little bit more to him than the next guy would. But you know what I'm saying. Like, it shouldn't be a fight in the real world if that's the way that you're going to portray it. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues with that. And if you don't watch it objectively or watch it just for the fun purposes, then I think most people would just kind of be like, yeah, it's kind of fucking ridiculous. And it is, for the most part. So, Ben, Ronnie Hughes, is that something that you're yeah or nay?
Oh, yeah, totally. There's tons of them. I agree with you guys. For me, I would say I have a lot of issues with Jason as a Jason fan. I know I remember seeing in like the interviews and stuff, you know, he kept telling him, you know, walk slower, you know, Freddy, you know, small, fast, Jason, big and slow. And I understand, I guess that was, you know, story, whatever, but it bothered me. I didn't like the look of Jason. I don't know, you know, if he had anything to do with that, but of course, Jason afraid of water. Yeah. So the kills, really, though, I think the kills, the rave scene, when Jason gets the guy, you know, the weird glow stick guy in the back with the pipe or the pole, just flings him across the screen. The Kelly Rowland one again across the screen. Those just don't hold up over time. You know, it really dates it. You know, I can look past the clothes or something like that. That happens in all the, you know, the great slashers, whatever. But the kills to me just really, really date it. So I would say Ronnie Hughes, the kills ruin this for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, there was some good ones, but yeah, I can't deal with the flying across the screen, man.
Yeah,
everything
a lot of it was
flies across the screen in this movie.
Yeah, but and it does, but that's, you know, with what Ben is saying about the kills, they kind of are traditional Friday, but not really. They're just exaggerated. So like with the bed scene, him being crushed up in the bed, is it over the top? No, not really, but it just kind of sets the tone for the other stuff. And yes, everything does fly across the screen. I don't know I don't want to say it's detrimental. If we had seen those types of kills in other films, it wouldn't have stuck out so much, because it's just something that you would have been used to kind of seeing. But yeah, I definitely agree with that. It does kind of stand on its own as far as that goes, because we didn't see that later on in 2009 by any means. We kind of went back to the roots of Friday. So the movie definitely sits kind of in its own little spot. And of course, with the soundtrack too and the clothing, it's very dated, just like the early Friday films with the clothing styles. And then of course later on, Jason Lives and the New Blood, and of course seeing the 80s style trends change, but we didn't get multiple films in that era. So I think it really dates Freddy versus Jason. If that makes sense to you guys, because of the new metal soundtrack and the clothes, you just seen it that one time. So every time I watch it now, it's like, wow. I mean, but it is what it is. It's basically a kind of a period piece. I don't know if you guys would agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Especially the clothes, that like kind of Backstreet Boys-esque look that everybody has, and Spice Girls kind of look. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, I think that the wardrobe is actually about, especially when you look at like Freeburg, I think that the movie's, of course, in 2003, but to me, it was more like 99, 2000 look in there. I think they were just a few years behind on the wardrobe, but that could just be me. So, but anyways, let's talk about Jason. And a lot of people have issue with Jason that he's a big oaf. He's Frankenstein, just a big dumbass. And talks with other people. And this is just my thought. And I've kind of thought this for a while, but just really not had any chance to kind of throw it out on the table. Now, you guys and everybody else who are Kane Hodder fans know how Kane portrayed Jason with the labored breathing, exaggerated movements, et cetera, et cetera. So could Kane have done that and played the Frankenstein Jason? Well, sure, anybody can do that. It's however you're being directed. But think about this. With Freddie being able to make Jason just give him shit and all his one-liners and stuff, the way Kane portrays Jason, when you look at him huffing and puffing, it's like, we're going to fucking fight right now. Like, you're not going to stand there and talk to me. I'm just going to walk over and kick your ass. So for Freddie to be able to stand there and do his business, I just don't think that would have worked with Kane's portrayal, because Kane's would have been like, we're going to get down to business. We're going to fucking fight right now. There's not going to be any talking. I'm coming for you and it's on. So I'm not saying that that's why Kane wasn't chosen, because he could have been told, yeah, you're either going to portray him like this or we're going to recast Jason. But I'm sure you guys can probably relate the portrayal of Jason in the relation to having being placed right next to Freddy in the same movie, that portrayal would not really have worked for this film. I mean, what do you think, Ben?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that. Freddy was the aggressor, you know, he was the one that the instigator and all that. And I think definitely Kane with the, as you say, the huffing and the puffing, that would have never have worked in the dream world, I guess. And definitely probably wouldn't have worked in the Jesus. Could you imagine what we would have seen, you know, Kane Hodder do to Freddy flying across the screen, you know? So yeah, I agree with that 100%, man.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes perfect sense when you think about it. It's like, yeah, this just would not work. They basically had to have a Jason just stand there and be a dumbass, be a slow dumbass. Of course, they portray him to be a lot bigger, which I get that, because otherwise it's like, okay, what's menacing about this guy that's the same size that doesn't talk and he just stands there and takes a verbal beating? So yeah, I think it was pretty much a requirement for this film to have it like that, because otherwise it just wouldn't have worked for both worlds. Now, if they were going to keep it in the dream world, or they were going to keep it, I mean, it basically depends on if you were going to cross over into the real world or to Freddy's world. That's where the big factor lies. And obviously they chose to do both, so they had to keep the Frankenstein Jason. Now, Kent, I know that you just fucking despise this costume, so let's hear your thoughts on that situation.
I can talk about that for days. But first and foremost, I suspect that one of the reasons they didn't want to bring Kane Hodder on is because they knew Kane Hodder was going to fight them tooth and nail for that portrayal. I think they knew he wasn't going to stand for that shit. And I would like to say, before I go in on this Jason portrayal, that I love Ken Kersinger. I love him as a person. I got to hang out with him a few years ago, just the most humble and awesome human being ever, and I don't blame any of this on him. I think that if Ken could have done it the way he wanted to do it, it would have been absolutely amazing.
Well,
that being said.
Yeah, but hang on, though. I mean, Kane Hodder was given free reign to Jason during his films, and there's all this speculation back and forth on why Kane didn't get it, but I think we're going to see Kane in a couple weeks, all three of us, Whorehound Mask Fest, Indianapolis, in the end of August. And I think it's time to I'm just going to tell him, hey, this is what I think. If your type of character, I don't think it would have worked, your style of portrayal, I don't think it would have worked, and here's why. And we'll just see what he has to say.
And I really do, honestly, they know that Kane wasn't going to be no bitch. He wasn't going to be pushed around. He wasn't going to let Jason just stand there. He would have fought that tooth and nail. And I really do believe that. Not to say that Ken was just new to the whole situation and it was a big deal for him, and he didn't want to, you know, possibly spoil any chances of getting to play this part. But back to this Jason, at the very, very least, you could have taken those 14-foot tall fucking boots off of him or shot it in a way that they weren't visible.
Yeah.
At the very least. That's bare minimum shit. If you don't want him to look like Frankenstein, do not make one of the most aesthetically Frankenstein-looking things visible in the movie. He moves like Frankenstein. He's just a big, lumbering, boring idiot. And that is not the Jason that we are accustomed with or that we are used to. That's not the Jason that we love. On top of that, he's wearing sweats now. I don't know at what point Jason, you know, ditched the Dickies and fucking put on sweats. A burlap sack. He just looks like he's let himself go, and he's eating. Oh God, I hate it so much. The hockey mask. I think that this hockey mask shape is one of the least desirable of the entire franchise. I hate the shape of it. I hate the look of it. I hate the big lumpy, like black, gray-haired head. There is absolutely. I even hate the machete.
Oh, don't get me started on the fucking machete.
I hate everything, and like I said, I blame none of this on Ken Kersinger. Not a single drop of it do I blame on Ken Kersinger. I think he was just doing as he was told, and obviously he didn't design the costume, because I think that if he could have done what he wanted to do, it would have been much, much better. But yeah, and I mean, there are things that I love about this movie, which we'll probably go into in a little bit, but Jason is by far one of my biggest issues with it.
Yeah, I knew that you didn't like the costume and whatnot. And I was going to just leave the machete out of it, but who the fuck made that? Who thought that was a good idea for a machete? I mean, really, seriously, like, does that look like a goddamn machete? No, it does not.
It looks awful.
It looks like some medieval piece with the handguard on it or something like that. It looks like some iron.
And the tip of it is way too curved and rounded off.
That's my thing. I mean, the sweatpants situation that they like to refer to him as, it's kind of hard to tell on screen, obviously, with lighting and stuff like that. And the burlap jacket is very uncommon. So it's like, where did that come from? But I remember seeing the first time or two that I watched it, and obviously seeing Mrs. Voorhees in the beginning. And of course, we got Freddy and Jason, you know, Jason's basically being brought back to life. And then you see him standing there and you're like, holy shit. Like, this is going to be one fucking kick-ass movie, because Jason looks pretty good right there.
I got that impression too.
So you're like, okay, cool. And then you see him move, and then you're like, okay, yeah, not what I expected, because obviously we've seen zombie Jason move in the way that CJ Graham portrayed him as just a machine. And then we have Kane Hodder, who just played a whole different take on that. And either you like it or you don't. But then we see zombie Jason moving in a way that we're used to seeing zombies move, right? How do you see zombies on The Walking Dead? How do you see zombies in other movies? They're not like CJ and Kane. You know what I'm saying?
They're still moving organically.
Right. But it's more zombie-like. So the sluggishness, I mean, he's not kind of dragging around like a walker on The Walking Dead, but that oafish kind of movement. I mean, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, when you first see Jason hit the screen, and then you're like, okay, cool. And I'm not thinking about, oh, are those sweatpants, or is that terry cloth, or what the fuck are his pants made of? Because it doesn't really stand out like to me like that. I mean, minus the boots, you're just kind of like, damn. I mean, okay, we can work with this. But then once the movie continues, it's just kind of like, oh, okay. And I don't know why. I'm just going to throw this out here. But when the cigarette butt hits him in the face, for whatever reason right there, I'm like, yeah, Jason's probably not going to move real fast in this movie. So, but yeah, Ben, I'll let you run with that one.
Yeah, totally. Boots, sweatpants. I understand all that. There's a great scene. It's at the ending, the fight. I think it's right when the, torpedo things or whatever, you know, Freddy's shooting off and Jason gets hit and he lands and you can see it. And like that scene, just every time I watch it, it just sticks out, and it's just like, you know, yeah, what the hell, a laundry day or something. But I would say my biggest issue with Jason in this is I feel as a Friday the 13th fan, we were kind of cheated. We didn't get the Jason that we were, you know, used to, accustomed to. Nothing against Ken. He did a great job. I've met him. He's a great dude. But we didn't get the showdown that, you know, we were all expecting. I think the problem was, is it was, you know, how many years went by between, you know, Fridays and Nightmares. So it was just really long, and we all had our hopes up. And then, yeah, looking back at it, it wasn't a true Jason. Jason was kind of a puppet. Like, they could have put, you know, they could have put anybody in that role. Freddy just, you know, searched hell or something. They could have, you know, that could have been Freddy versus Michael Myers just as easily, you know, and maybe it would have made a little bit more sense, Haddonfield, you know, and Springwood. But
it could have just a normal person that he was puppeteering. Like, it didn't even have to be a supernatural, like an entity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it could have been. It could have just been a regular guy, or, you know, a serial killer, or something like that. It was a Nightmare on Elm Street film, and I feel that more and more when I watch it. And that's just my biggest issue with it. We didn't get the Jason that, you know, us Friday fans really, really wanted. And that's probably my biggest letdown of the film.
I agree.
The clothes on this look like whenever they were designing it, they said, all right, well, we got the head sculpt. We've got this shitty hockey mask. What are we going to make him wear? And they're like, oh, let's go see what's in the attic. And whatever they found in the attic, that's what they put on it. And they're like, yeah, that'll do. It's a Freddy movie anyway. Fuck it.
Well, if you could have easily gotten rid of the boots by just casting someone who was taller. If you wanted him to be that height, you could have put regular boots on somebody that was taller. And
Ken is already 6'6". Like, he's tall enough. Anyway.
I don't think he's quite that tall, but he's at least 6'4", 6'4" range, 6'5", maybe.
6'4"? I don't know. I know he's he like towers over my ass.
Well, you're also 5'7", so, I mean.
I'm taller than Robert Englund.
Oh, okay, well, that's not exactly a great accomplishment either, so.
I'm 5'10", thank you very much. I just look short to you because you're like fucking 6'3".
Well, I mean, that's why I'm saying I don't think Ken is quite that tall, because I have pictures with him and I've stood next to him and he doesn't seem like he's 6'6". So I could be wrong though. But of course he's getting older now too. So obviously he's going to start kind of slouching over a little bit compared to his younger years. I mean, look at the great Ted White, obviously is not as tall as what he used to be. So, I mean, his age catches up with you. So maybe that's why too. He might have been 6'6" years ago. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that if you wanted to eliminate,
I just pulled that number out of my ass.
Well, of course you did, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying you could eliminate that if you wanted to get rid of the Frankenstein boots, you could have just cast a taller person. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think after the years have passed, and now I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. The things that I kind of let go. Now I do have a problem with them, but it's not enough. It doesn't ruin the movie for me. There's great one-liners from Freddy, of course. A lot of people say the acting's terrible, and outside of Chris Marquette and Catherine Isabel, the acting's really not that great. But then again, with the Nightmare films and the Friday films, they weren't casting, if you want to get down to tradition with it, they weren't casting big name stars at the time. So they're right on point kind of with that aspect. I mean, not everybody's an Adrian King or an Amy Steele. So, I mean, you get quality people that are inexperienced, but I think it just kind of, it works for what's going on with the film. And I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in the film, but I think it's, I don't know what's the best to describe it. Most of it could have been better. It was poorly executed. I think even if you would have had the Frankenstein Jason, if you would have had a different director come in with the exact same script, I think we would have got a much better film. Yay or nay?
I 150,000% agree.
Right. And I'm sure, Ben, you probably agree with that also.
Oh, yeah. If they would have just brought just a horror director, I mean, he didn't even have to be a fan of Jason. Just give us somebody that, you know, was a good horror director. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking objectively, and like I said, it's the Ronnie Hughes. You could have put the same script down in front of whoever else. I mean, I can throw a handful of directors out there, but they would not have executed it in the way, the over the top way, or the cartoonish way, or the ridiculous way, however you want to refer to it as, even if they would have said, yep, we're still going to have Frankenstein Jason, the other stuff could have easily been improved. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. But either way, I'm glad we got the film, and we're probably never going to see that combination again. If we do, I'd really be surprised, especially with the state that the Friday game is, or movie and game, all that situation is in right now with the lawsuit. And it took however many years, like almost, 15 years later from when the idea was first talked about of doing a Freddy versus Jason film back in the later part of the 80s. So if we did get a second version of that, first of all, it just wouldn't be the same because we're going to not have Robert Englund. So the Robert Englund vibe is definitely out. Of course, the Jason can be recast, but I just don't think we're going to see it. If we did, it's going to be so far down the line that I mean, who knows? We might not even be around to see it as far as that goes. But either way, I'm glad that we have the film, and it's one of those that I think after kind of just saying fuck it, and I do have the issues with it, I'm not going to let the nostalgic part kind of override it and rate the movie higher than it is. To me, it's just still one of those fun films that just grab some popcorn, turn on the TV, and just sit down and watch it for what it is. I don't know. What are your thoughts as far as that goes? Just kind of taking it with a grain of salt or what?
I would say it's just a fun movie. It's like you said, man, pop some popcorn, you know, maybe a date night movie. Don't take it, you know, too seriously. It's kind of like Jason X, you know, you just hang out. It's just a fun thing, you know?
No, I don't just hang out with Jason X. We're just gonna leave that one alone.
It's just a fun movie, man. You can't take it too seriously. You watch it for, you know, like you said, the good one-liners, you know, maybe some good kills here and there. I will say, I think the rave scene was, you know, that's just fun, you know?
It is, but then when I watch it now, I'm like, look at these fucking idiots. But I mean, that was the thing back then, and I thought they were idiots then too. So I think they're even bigger idiots now. So it does... It does date it back to that time frame, which is fine. I mean, all the films are dated, essentially. The 2009 film looks dated now, and it's nearly 10 years old, and it looks dated. So it doesn't take long for that to happen. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great shit in there. There's a lot of good lines. There's, of course, some of the ridiculous stuff. Like, one of my probably favorite parts is when Stubbs pulls up and asks if they need assistance. And it's just like, well, no shit, they need assistance. I mean, come on. But that's the kind of the stuff that adds the fun to it. So, yeah, I mean, I know with Jason Goes to Hell, we were all kind of like, yeah, I'm glad the movie exists. So we'll just revert back to that, and I'll let you go with that one, Kent.
Well, one thing I want to say is what I feel was a missed opportunity, and this might be just me because I seem to be one of the only people in the horror community that really likes origin stories and background information on horror characters. But I remember whenever we first saw the flashbacks when we get into Jason's memory and we see him, you know, as a little boy again and not dead and getting picked on, I was thinking, oh, shit, if they start going into, like, more into, like, the psychology of Jason and things that happened to him whenever he was alive and not, you know, this kill, like, I would love that. I would love to get a little bit of screen time to that, but it just fell flat because he gets shoved into the lake 3 seconds later. But the second I saw that, you know, she was at a Crystal Lake and that 50s Chevy rolls around and I realized what's happening, I got so excited, and then it just fell flat. And that was, like, the one thing that I was, like, really, really crazy excited. And there are parts of this movie that I actually do enjoy, and I would agree with Ben that it is watched, like, it's entertaining. Like, I'll watch Freddy vs. Jason. I've probably seen it 50 times, and I'll watch it 50 more. But it's not entertaining in the way that I was hoping it would be whenever I learned that this movie was being made. And that's unfortunate. But, yeah. Just like you, Nathan, I'm glad it exists, and I'll watch this 10 times before I watch Jason X once.
Right. Now, and I'm going to throw this out there, that since you were talking about that particular flashback scene, I know that you're probably one of the people, you probably paused it when Freddy's getting it on with the counselor, don't lie.
Oh, every time. I usually rub it out 6-7 times during that. I have a preference of the dead, so yeah, man, that was. Whew.
I remember seeing that, and I'm like, oh my god, you got to be kidding me. But it either way, it's, I mean, it's a good addition. I mean, there is a lot of good stuff with that film. There really is. It's just the little things. Well, I don't want to say little things because they're kind of a big fucking deal. And I mean, just all the things that we've mentioned, but I let those things go. I mean, I'll admit it. When I first watched, I was like, yeah, this movie's fucking badass. I love this movie. And then you watch it a couple more times and it's like, yeah, you know, that's because after you see it the first time or two, you're still pumped that you even got the movie, right? So you're not watching you're not like trying to critique it or trying to pick it apart. You're just like, yeah, we got Jason and Freddy in the same film and people die. Okay, great. And then some time passes by and you might not have watched it for a while or whatever. And then you watch it again and you're like, you know, that's pretty fucking ridiculous. And then that just started growing as I'm getting older. Now, I'm not saying that like I throw shit at the TV and get all pissed off and turn it off. I mean, no, I do enjoy the film, but you just start to really like be annoyed by certain things each year that it gets older. So yep. So yeah. So Ben, agree, disagree. Any final thoughts?
Jason X isn't that bad of a film, but this one is
Jesus Christ.
Hang on. Okay. Okay. Let's just back the train up for a second here.
I'm not trying to open up a hang whole on. Other. You know.
What is but, the worst? What is? Hang on. What is on your list? What is the worst Friday film? You are on the spot right now.
Oh fuck. Jesus. Yeah, I can't pick one, man, because in all honesty, I'm one of those fans that I fucking love every Jason, and to me every Jason has something special about it.
Well, right now you don't get those
you
choices.
You could put Jason Jason in fucking Africa and no, I would be there opening night, take my money.
Nope, you're just like, avoiding
basically earnest now.
Fighting. You're avoiding the question.
I would probably say probably Jason X. And Jason Takes Manhattan.
Okay.
Those are
Jason
up there. But I'm not going
to
say it's a bad film. I enjoy Jason X. I mean, you know, it's fucking Kane Hodder. I'm a Kane Hodder fan. But Freddy vs. Jason, I agree with you guys. You know, exactly. It is a little dated, but it is a fun film. Just like, honestly, like all the fucking new line Jason films. You know, they're not Friday films. They're Jason films.
So it's
fun
because you okay. So I can appreciate you saying that you don't have
I
to.
I put Freddy up there, Freddy versus Jason, as one of the worst Friday films. I mean, that's up there with me.
Understandably, but you just hit it right on the nose, and you said that even if it's the worst, it doesn't mean that you dislike it. You can love them all, but one still has to be your least favorite. So. Like for me, that's Jason X for a number of reasons. And that's, we can talk about that later, but you saying, well, I don't remember what film when you mentioned Kane Hodder, maybe it was Part 8 or something, but if CJ Graham would have continued the exact same way that he portrayed Jason in 6 all the way through X, would that change your mind about watching Part 8 just because you're like, well, Kane Hodder's Jason. So that leads you to watch it. Cause you're like, oh, Kane Hodder's Jason. I love Kane Hodder. But Kane Hodder doesn't make that movie excellent by any means. I mean, there's that one thing can't necessarily make it greatness. The rest of the movie has to fall in line. So if CJ Graham would have portrayed Jason throughout those movies, would that have changed anything for you?
Not with 8. I really just dislike 8. I mean, I know what you're saying. I agree. I think by the time Kane got to Jason X though, like he was kind of like, you know, Robert here in Freddy versus Jason. He had that fucking role. Like Kane, to me, nailed Jason in Jason X. That was his best. I mean, you know, the breathing or whatever. But probably not with Part 8, man. I'm not a fan of Part 8.
Okay. Well, like, for example, I love CJ Graham's Jason. CJ's awesome. But Jason X is on the bottom of the totem pole for me. But if CJ Graham would have played Jason, it would still fucking be on the bottom of the totem pole. It would not matter who played Jason because the film doesn't carry the portrayal. You know what I mean? Like, so you get what I'm saying there. So I was just kind of curious. So yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And like I said, I was just kind of just wanting to hear if any of those things made a difference for you.
I don't think so. No, man. I really dislike 8. I like CJ. That would have been fucking awesome if he would have done that. Maybe by the time, you know, 6, and if he would have done 7, 8, 9 and X like that, then maybe it would have been boring. You know, the movie would have sucked because you would have been used to it. I don't know. I know what you're saying. I'm one of those guys where it's Kane, so I got to watch it, but I fucking hate part 8, man. Sorry, Kent. I know you like that one.
Well, he hates Jason Goes to Hell, so he got
his right at me anyway. That's fair enough.
I mean, it is what it is. I'm not a huge part 8 fan either, and there's a lot of reasons why. But at least that one is kind of more on the, well, it's not a traditional Friday film in the sense of being at the lake hacking people up. But when you start comparing that to the films that followed it, I mean, unfortunately, Kane was playing Jason in what most fans will deem as the weaker Friday movies as far as the whole film themselves are considered. So, yeah, I don't think, and I like Ken Kersinger. I've met him numerous times, had conversations, like Kent said, very humble guy and appreciative of his role. But even if Kane would have portrayed his version, I don't think the film would have worked that way, as we already discussed. And if Kane was going to be the Frankenstein zombie, the movie would not have been any better than it was, because it just wouldn't have made any type of significant difference. So those are my final thoughts anyway. So Kent, anything you want to add before we wrap this up?
No, I just, I think it's a shame that this could have been so good, and it was so fucking bad.
Hashtag so blame Ronnie Yu. There you go.
Yeah, I blame it all, man. I blame it all on Ronnie Yu. I really do, because I like these characters, which isn't common in a Friday the 13th. Like, usually I don't care about the characters, but with this one up, I really do. I like almost all the characters. And it's just all on that director, man. Real quick before you, we kind of talked about Jason the entire time. Robert Englund does a really kick-ass job in this movie. He's really good.
Absolutely, but you gotta understand there's really, you just said it right there, Robert Englund. He needs no explanation. He's amazing. I mean, his name alone is greatness. So, yeah, we didn't really talk much about Freddy, but we really didn't have to, other than he was the focal point of this movie, basically.
He's always going to bring it home.
Right. Nice. Exactly.
Self-explanatory.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, August 15th, 2018, 15th anniversary of Freddy versus Jason. If you haven't seen it in a while, perfect time to rewatch it. And if you've never seen it, then obviously the perfect time to watch it. So, if you want to talk about Freddy versus Jason, Jason Goes to Hell, or anything else that we've discussed on past episodes, I'll just throw out there again that you can find Ben and Kent and myself. We will be at Horror Hound Mask Fest Indianapolis coming up the weekend of August the 25th. Kane Hodder will be there. Adam Marcus will be there. Bad News Cruise, he will also be there. So a few Friday people. Robert Englund himself will also be there. Great little lineup for the 10th anniversary of Mask Fest. So definitely, if you see us around, if you want to chat horror, we would love to talk to you. But that wraps up another episode of Death Curse Radio. So please rate and review wherever the hell you listen to the show at. Check us out on Facebook at Death Curse Radio or our website, deathcurseradio.com. This episode was brought to you by Freddy versus Jason. Until next time.
Evil lurks in the mind of a madman.
This is the end, friend.
Your suffering will be legendary, even in hell. What the prime time, bitch?
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Candyman. Eternal.
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
That is what
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Some things have a strange idea entertainment.